front. You're a hero, but a doer of his will. Praise the Lord. I want to go back to Romans 5, and we're going to start reading in verse 6. We're going to read all the way down to the end of chapter 5 to verse 21. Romans 5, beginning in verse 6, read down through verse 21, and that we'll read in the New King James Version. Also, we'll add to that Colossians chapter 1, verse 19 through 23. Amen. I do realize that that is a great portion of Scripture. However, this is Bible study. Praise the name of the Lord. However, this is Bible study. And we tend to run a different format, a different type of teaching than we would do in the 11 o'clock service. Amen. This is Bible study. Praise God. So we give God glory and praise. May the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know the hope of your calling. Amen. Romans chapter 5, beginning at verse 6, and then Colossians 1, beginning at verse 19. We're going back to the thought that we had on last week, amen, about this one man, about this one man. Praise the name of the Lord. And so Romans 5, beginning at verse 6, and just to get the whole matter, says, amen, for when we were still without strength, we were powerless. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, and yet perhaps for a good man, one would even dare to die. Glory to God. One would even dare to die. Look at this. But God demonstrated his own love, glory to God, towards us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. We shall be saved from the wrath through him. Verse 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, amen, we shall be saved by his life. And amen, not only that, but we also rejoice in God, amen, through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received, amen, the reconciliation. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sin, that word, the name Adam literally means mankind. So mankind was in that one act. Praise God. Mankind was in the one act resulting in, amen, through sin, and death spread to all in that one act, because all mankind was in that act. Praise God. So all men are born with that same nature and ability to sin. Praise the Lord. Verse 13, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed or put to one's account, or he's held responsible for, when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned, amen, from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him, a type of Christ, who was to come. Adam was a type of Christ. Amen. But the free gift is not like the offense, For if by one man's offense many died, much more, the grace of God, and thank you, Lord, and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounding to many. Look at this, verse 16. And the gift is not like that which come, amen, through the one who sinned. The gift is not like that, amen, which comes through the one that sinned. For the judgment which came from the one's offense resulted in condemnation. Amen. It results condemnation. But the free gift which came from many offense, amen, resulted in justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned, amen, through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Look at that. Glory to God. Much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, glory to God, the free gift came to all, resulting in the justification of life. I love verse 18. It's like a big summation. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, and is the result condemnation. Even so, amen, through one man's righteous act, amen, the free gift came to all, resulting in the justification of life. Glory to God. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many were made righteous. Look at God. Verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounds, grace abound much more. But where sin abounds, grace abounded much more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace, glory to God, might reign through righteousness to eternal life, amen, through Jesus Christ our Lord. I do realize that is, amen, a mouthful. I do realize that is a mouthful. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. The first thing that we have to see tonight, and that we mentioned last week, is the comparison between the first Adam and the second Adam, Jesus Christ. They call Jesus Christ the second Adam. And the first Adam, disobedience, resulted in judgment and condemnation. Amen. And that death that God promised, that the day that you eat of this fruit, amen, you shall surely die. Amen. So there was an immediate physical death, but there was an immediate spiritual disconnect from God. Amen. Immediate spiritual disconnect from God. Glory to God. Amen. And so this first Adam, amen, got us in trouble. But the second Adam, amen, got us out of trouble. And so as we are, one of the best things to do, beloved, when you're studying the Word of God, is to perfect the art of observation. Perfect the art of observation. Amen. Observation asks the question, what do you see? Observation asks the question, amen, of what do you see? Praise God. And before you go to application, how does this work? That's the third step. Praise God. Observation. Praise God. And then there is, we have to ask the question, amen, about cultural issues. Ask the question about what does this mean? What do we see? And then, amen, interpretation, what does it mean? Interpretation, ask the question, what does it mean? Observation, ask the question, what do you see? Interpretation, ask the question, amen, what does it mean? What does all of this mean? Amen. And then, if you're going to apply it in the right context, you thoroughly examine your text so that question can be asked, how do we walk this thing out? How do we walk in what we have seen? Glory to God. Amen. And so with the observation, what we have seen is five times we see, first of all, the word much more, which indicates, amen, a continual growing and empowering. Amen. Much more, which indicates a continual growing and empowering. And the whatever the first Adam did, much more in Christ as a result. Amen. And justification is one thing, but reconciliation, amen, that much more. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. And so we have to observe the text before we start trying to apply it. The second thing, the other thing that you see is six times, that's what I was getting to, the word gift or free gift. Six times, two in verse 15, two in verse 16, one in verse 17, one in verse 18, in regard to, amen, the gift. Amen. The gift given by Christ is much more, that's how you put it together, it's much more than the offense, glory to God, it's much more than the offense that resulted in condemnation through the first Adam. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 through 11 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God." It's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast, but we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. For by grace you have been saved, amen, and not of yourself. This is the gift of God. This is the gift that he's talking about, glory to God, in the book, in the fifth chapter of Romans, and six times that made reference to the gift. Romans 6 and 23 says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, amen, in Christ Jesus our Lord. The wages of sin, when it's all done and over with, when it just ran its course, glory to God, your payment is death, amen, separation from God spiritually, and if we die before we come to Christ, eternal separation, amen. But the gift of God is eternal life. Praise the name of the Lord. And that, if there's nothing else you ought to praise God for, you ought to give him praise for the access through Christ of eternal life. Glory to God. And so this abounding grace, glory to God, this abundant, abounding grace that came through Jesus Christ, amen, resulted in justification and reconciliation. Glory to God. That word justification is a judicial term. It's a legal term. It really, amen, means to be declared legally innocent. The handwriting of requirement that was against us, that spoke, amen, about our ways, amen, has been wiped away. God, amen. Christ nailed it to the cross. Christ nailed it to the cross. He took upon himself the sins of the world. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. And so, in the end of chapter 5, praise God, at the end of chapter 5, it gives us the framework by which we run straight into Romans chapter 6. Praise God. We run straight into Romans chapter 6. Amen. So it asks the question then, what shall we say then? Chapter 6 and verse 1, shall we continue in sin? Amen. That grace may abound. Chapter 5, and if you look at verse 20 and 21, this is what it says. Moreover, the law entered that offense may abound. But where sin abound, grace abound much more. That's our basis for how we ease into chapter 6. Now, most cases, a chapter break does justice. But in this case, it's problematic because it should just keep flowing seamlessly. But we'll act like it is on tonight. Glory to God. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abound, grace abounds much more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace may reign through righteousness to eternal life through our Jesus Christ, our Lord. And that's how that chapter, amen, sets us up. For the end of chapter 5 set us up for chapter 6. Amen. And Paul masterfully in the book of Romans, amen, uses this type of questioning to all throughout the book. It's called a rhetorical question. Amen. He used that, amen, not because he's looking for an answer, amen, but because he's making a point. The definition of rhetorical is as a question asked for a purpose other than obtaining an answer. Amen. It's other than obtaining an answer. This rhetorical question asked in order to create a dramatic effect or to make the point, amen, rather than an answer. So it says it's asking a question to make a point with the answer already in mind. Thank you, Lord. It's asking the question, amen, it's to create a dramatic effect with an answer already, amen, in mind. It's not really pulling for an answer. It is to make a point. It is, in essence, highlighting. Praise God. It's highlighting a particular situation. So that's what chapter 6 does. And I want to get too far, amen, off in, amen, into that. So all throughout the book of Romans, you see this concept of rhetorical questioning. Amen. When you go back and you read chapter Romans 5, praise God, and when you read verse 8, Romans 5 and 8, they say, but God demonstrated his own love towards us while we were still sinners. Christ died for us. Amen. This statement lets us know that the true power, amen, the true power of being Christ-like is supposed to be demonstrated and not spoken. The true power of being Christ-like, followers of Christ, is, amen, is not about speaking, but demonstrating. It's about walking in it. Amen. One of the things that he says in the Gospel of John, chapter 13, amen, in verse 34 and 35, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, you love one another. Amen. Not about your lip service at first, not about the your wisdom, amen, your retort of the scripture, your ability to recite the word, amen. One of the main qualification for being Christ-like, the main characteristic, I'm sorry, is demonstration. Praise God. So to be Christ-like, we have to demonstrate what he demonstrated. Demonstrate love, demonstrate his power, demonstrate our knowledge of the kingdom. It's got to be demonstrated. And anytime it's just spoken and never demonstrated, it leaves room open for the agnostic, for the dogmatic, and for the antichrist. Glory to God. Amen. Say that again. It leaves room for the dogmatic, for the agnostic, and for the antichrist, for the haters. Let's just sum it all up. Why? Because we just spoke it and it's not demonstrated. We're just verbalizing Christ, but not walking in his steps. We're verbalizing Christ. We are intellectualizing Christ, but not, amen, walking in the power of demonstrating love and in the power of the Spirit and, amen, and in the flow of the kingdom. Glory to God. Anytime you minimize and you bring down Christ to just wisdom and verbalization, the problem that you're going to run into is everybody can verbalize. And sometimes they can verbalize even better than some of the best of us. Praise God. But here's the dramatic effect that's the turning point. When Lazarus was raised from the dead, amen, now the plot thickened. They say, we got to kill this man because the whole world going to be going after him now. Amen. It was the demonstration that was the key. It was the demonstration of the power that was the show of love and the demonstration of the power. The show of love was when he, amen, wept. The shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept, amen, because of his relationship with Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And then he demonstrated the power when he raised them from the dead. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Then he demonstrated it. He just didn't verbalize it. He demonstrated it. And this, beloved, what we have to get. This, beloved, what we have to set our mind and not just be, amen, intellectual, not just be real smart about the scripture, not just be, amen, have a good recall of the text. And we got to walk these things out. If, amen, Christ is going to be seen in our life, to God be the glory. Thank you, Father. Amen. The book of Colossians chapter 1 and verse 19. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Amen. Colossians chapter 1, verse 19 through 23, and I think this will help as well. It says, for it pleased the Father that in him all of the fullness should dwell. Verse 20, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, and by him whether things are on earth, things in heaven, having made peace, look at that, through the blood of the cross, having made peace. We were, amen, hostile in our mind against God. We had the hostility. The enmity means hostility. Glory to God. But Jesus made peace. Glory to God. In our minds, he made peace judicially, amen, and justice. When he justified us, amen, he made peace. So no longer are we on a hostile sin basis because of Christ. death. We're now on a peace base, amen, being justified by faith if we receive Christ in the present. Got to read that again. Verse 19, for it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things that are things on earth and things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of the cross. Glory to God. Amen. It cost. Amen. It cost to be reconciled. It cost to be redeemed. Verse 21, and you, amen, who were once alienated, enemies in your mind by wicked works, amen, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you, look at this, holy, blameless, and above reproach in his sight. Never mind how we look at it. Amen. In his sight. Boy, that's a work. Amen. If you can be holy, blameless, and above reproach in the sight of the Almighty. This is how complete, this is how powerful, this is how absolutely, amen, glorious the work of Christ is, that, amen, in the body of his flesh through death, amen, to present us holy, blameless, and above reproach in his sight. If indeed you continue in the faith, amen, grounded and steadfast and are not moved, look at God, away from the hope of the gospel which you heard and which was preached to every living creature under the heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. Glory to God. So Christ reconciled our relationship. Glory to God. He has reconciled us and given us, amen, this hope and given us this soundness wherein, amen, we're walking. Amen. Justification is a judicial term. It talks about what? Reconciliation, amen, describes the nature of the matter. We're now in this restored relationship that was lost by the first Adam, but yet regained, praise God, by this, amen, the last Adam, the second Adam in Christ. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. And so as you read the text in Romans 5, you see that it builds. Amen. That's why it says much more then. And it keeps building. Glory to God. It says much more then. And amen. And so as it builds, what you're understanding, amen, what you're becoming to understand is that Christ paid it all and he did it all. Christ paid it all and he did it all through this one man's, glory to God, obedience, through this one man's sacrifice, thank you, Jesus, through this one man, amen, laying his life down and then taking it up again, amen, becoming the first fruit from the dead, through this one man, glory to God, righteous act, we are now filled with the Holy Spirit, and that spirit that was in Christ, that, amen, that allowed him, that rose, had risen him from the grave, is now in us, amen, and that is eternal life. Romans 6 and 33 says again, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Praise God. It is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. So the question is, what's the benefit for all of this? Why even understand this? Why even keep going here, man of God? Are you trying to make a point? What is it that I should be getting from this? First, amen. Number one is this, amen. We should receive an increased knowledge of the ministry of Christ. Amen. That's doctrinal. Praise God. As we study Romans 5, we see we should receive an increased knowledge, amen, of the ministry of Christ. Thereby, you understand what it costs for our freedom and for our relationship with God. Amen. We understand the power that's in the blood. Oh, bless his name. Glory to God in the highest. Praise God. And when we understand that, more, our doctrine is sound. Amen. And the second thing is connected to the first. Our doctrine is directly linked to our behavior. Amen. When you know right, you do right. Amen. You can't walk circumspectly if what's in your mind hadn't made it to your heart, and what's in your heart hadn't made it to your feet and into your hands. Glory to God. It's got to be more than head knowledge. It's got to be more than a passion that's in your heart. It's got to result in action. It's got to be demonstrated. Remember, our walk in Christ is not just a speaking gospel. It's a demonstration of the power and of the love of God. Amen. Number one, we receive an increased knowledge of the ministry of Christ. Number two is related to number one because our doctrine is directly linked to our behavior. So we expect a greater behavior from that. Praise the name of the Lord. Number three, it deepens our worship experience. When we understand the sacrifice of Christ, when we have an ever increasing knowledge of what it costs for our liberty. You may not understand it initially. Praise God. Amen. But you will come to understand it. It increased our worship experience. So when I lift up holy hands in the presence of the Almighty, and I give God praise, and I thank God for the sacrifice of the Lamb of God. Amen. In my mind, I understand greater and greater and more increasingly, amen, what Christ has done. And as a result, it deepens my sense of worship. Glory to God. It deepens my sense of worship. The other thing that's necessary, number four, amen, is that it gives us confidence in our apologetic defense. Amen. That word apologetic simply means defense. It gives us more confidence when we ask, according to Peter, amen, 1 Peter 3 and 15, when we ask the confidence, why are we acting like this? Why are you so bold in this matter? I'm able to verbalize my salvation. Glory to God. I'm able to verbalize, amen, my salvation. I'm able to say why it is I believe the way it is. I do. I just don't say to a sinner, just come to church. I can, amen, on the spot, I can verbalize salvation. Amen. I can tell him what it means to be saved and lead him into the person of Jesus Christ. Amen. And the last thing, this teaching should do, is designed to do, is to equip you with the boldness in the day of spiritual warfare. It's designed to equip you in the day with boldness in the day of spiritual warfare. Amen. Because we understand who he is, what he has done. Amen. And all that was assigned to Christ is of the Father. And all that is of the Son is given to us by means of the Holy Spirit. So in the day of warfare, we have confidence. In the day of judgment, we have confidence. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus, for all that he has done for us. All that he has done, amen, in us, through us, and for us, amen, by means of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. So this is the matter that we're saying. And this is the thing that we're talking about, amen, this one man. Romans 5 and 17 says, for if by one man's offense death reigned, glory to God, through one man, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, look at God, amen, will reign in life through the one, amen, through that one, Jesus Christ, that one man. Verse 18 says, therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, this result is condemnation. This result is condemnation. Even so, through one man's righteous act, amen, the free gift came to all, resulting in the justification of life. Verse 19 is good as I come to a close. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by, amen, one man's obedience, many were made righteous. Many were made righteous, which simply means I have a right standing, amen, in the presence of God because of the work of Christ. I've been made right with God, amen. The whole theme of the book of Romans is, amen, righteousness, amen, faith and righteousness, amen. The whole matter is a right standing, both Jew and Gentile, because that's what was in the membership at the Church of Rome, some Jew, some Gentile. But both all have come into the right standing with God through the works of Jesus Christ. Both have. Praise God. He's broken down the middle wall of partition, making the two, amen, into one. Glory to God in the highest. So this is the thing that we're getting with, and this is the benefit. This is why you should have this in your spirit, Amen. Number one, so that you'll have an increased knowledge of the ministry of Christ. And then number two, amen, you'll have a stronger walk in Christ. Number three, amen, you'll have a deeper worship experience. Glory to God, a deeper worship experience, number three. Number four, confident, amen, an apologetic defense. Confident, apologetic, amen. You're able to verbalize what you believe and why you're, amen, you're bold with that belief. And of course, laugh, amen, it equips us with boldness in the day of spiritual warfare. Praise the name of the Lord. You know who you are, and you know whose you are. Glory to God in the highest. This is all resulting in maturity in Christ. All resulting in maturity in Christ as we grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So I encourage you as you study, amen, in the book of Romans, I encourage you, don't get weary. If you don't get it the first time, just keep studying. But above all, amen, every time you approach the word of God, above all, when you approach the word of God, pray and ask the Lord to give you understanding of his holy scripture. Glory to God. Pray and ask the Lord to give you understanding, to direct you in the right way. Praise God, so that you have, a knowledge of the word of God, so that you can rejoice and be glad. Glory to God. Because to whom much has been given, much is required. To whom much has been given, much is required. Amen. I'll say this, amen, in my closing. Christianity, or to be Christ-like, to be followers of Christ, is not about a verbalization. It's about a demonstration. It's not about being wise. It's not about projecting the vocabulary. It's about a demonstration of love. It's about a demonstration of power. Amen. And that's what the text is telling us, what Christ done for us. Amen. He didn't talk about it, what Christ done for us. What matter of love is this? This is what he did for us. And so as Christ-like followers, we got to have a love-provoked doing. A love-provoked doing. And glory to God. And walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Understanding the kingdom concept. Glory to God in the highest. My time is up. Praise the name of the Lord. May God give you insight, revelation, knowledge. May you walk firmly. May you walk circumspectly in the power of the Lord. Father, I thank you for your kindness. I thank you for your love towards us, which is better than life. Thank you, Father, for the ultimate sacrifice that you loved us so. Amen. That you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in you would have eternal life. Thank you, Father, for redemption. Thank you for this walk that you have given us, that we may walk in holiness. Amen. Ridding ourselves of all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness and fear of you only. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, we bless you, we magnify you, we adore you. You alone are God, all by yourself, and beside you, there is none other. We give you all the glory and the praise. It's in Christ Jesus.